Okay, this is pretty awesome. So if you are into science-backed products when it comes to your health, your gut health, but also woman-owned products, I must introduce you to Equilibria. I'm so thankful I discovered them this year. I mean, Equilibria, they help you take on your wellness journey knowing that you have a dedicated one-on-one support to help you achieve your goals. So it's not like you're just taking a pill mindlessly. You actually get one-on-one support. That's awesome. And their signature product, which is EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense, it comes in a convenient 3-in-1 capsule form. And so this is specifically formulated to bolster digestive health and fortify gut barrier protection, among other benefits. And we know that a balanced gut not only enhances our immunity, but also contributes to our overall mental well-being and our quality of sleep, of course, having efficient digestion and even radiant skin. But what distinguishes Equilibria's probiotic supplement is its meticulous selection, which is tailored to women's health needs. And of course, like I said, science-backed, and they're also ensuring affordability without compromising potency. And as someone who once struggled pretty severely with gut health issues for years, I intensified my focus on gut health in, I'd say, around 2020. And I'm thrilled to have recently discovered these products this year, as of course, they're backed by research for women's well-being, they're women-owned, and they support overall microbiome health, warding off harmful bacteria and enhancing our nutrient absorption. So head to myeq.com and use code MAGIC for 15% off Equilibria's microbiome defense and much more. That's myeq.com. And use code MAGIC at checkout for 15% off site-wide today.
We're doing it all the time, whether we're aware of it or not, but seeking out those that we can really deeply connect with. If you think of it, like one of the major things that any old soul is trying to achieve is intimacy with others, you know, get to that very, very deep place. And it's a lot easier with somebody with whom you have a soul connection, even a soul agreement, than it would be just for a random person. I mean, it's a generalization. And of course, you can meet people just kind of by chance who are also old souls who may really, you know, be able to go to that place with you. But that search for intimacy is a lot easier when you're amongst kindred spirits, you know, really those of a similar soul age.
Now let the magic begin.
Well, you know, it really surprises me how often I find this with clients that we actually have a connection, you know, from a past life, you know. That, I mean, a really big part of what old souls are doing all the time is really trying to reconnect with soul family. And if you're paying attention to that, I've always thought that I think if people really realized that was so much a part of their mission, if you like, in this life, I think we'd respect our relationships more. And we might actually not spend time with those who are not really serving us. I think we'd show more discernment if we really understood what to look for and that we're seeking those we've known before.
That feels so true, because there are definitely times when our minds might be like, oh, this person would benefit me in my life right now because yada yada, but does that person really feel right for you?
Yeah.
Whereas you feel like someone sees you, they see you as in just pure love for who you are versus what you are.
Well, you know, I think we all want to be seen, you know, and we want to see and be seen.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, and it's amazing how often we end up in, you know, friendships and relationships with people who we really have, they don't really have sufficient connection with us.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a sort of settling that goes on. I guess that's what I'm really getting at. I think we would hold out for really better relationships very often if you knew that there's definitely a soulmate or, you know, somebody's soul family out there instead of settling.
But at the same time, because I do feel like we're all connected, we're all one, that we all come from, well, the same creator, we're all part of. this universal experience together. But you did say the word sufficient. So perhaps our soul, because your guides, they do tell you just this stuff. And they're like, they don't want to step outside of this area of expertise.
It's my purview is what we call it.
Yes. Oh, your purview. I like that. Yeah. You're very aware of the soul families that are connected and they have a sufficient connection together. Right.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean for one second that you can't have a great relationship with somebody who's not a soul family. But the agreements we have tend to be, as older souls anyway, they tend to be with what are called old friends. And an old friend is a member of your soul family that you've known before.
So I was just telling Ainsley before I pressed record, I'm telling the audience right now that I felt really excited to talk to you, as in I got that same feeling I get before I see my family over the holidays. And it is pretty much the holidays right now. And so talking to Ainsley, I'm like, this feels so right.
Right. Absolutely. Well, deep soul connection. That's why.
I know. What do you know about your past life and my past life together, like our connection, if you know anything?
I don't actually. You know, next time I'll make sure I'll get a complete skinny on that. I really apologize. I should have checked this one out for today. It would take me a little bit of time, so it's just why I wouldn't do it on the fly right now. You know, I'd have to sort of really settle in with the spirit guides and figure it out. What I do know, however, is, and I think we might have touched on this before, that there are certainly shared experiences. And so what we would both have experienced, whether it's in the same life or at different times, is abandonment and rejection in past lives. And it's a big part of why we are so motivated to bring people together. You know, you through just what you're doing right now, and me through my books and so on. A really big part of what we're both doing is trying to be there for others who might feel like we did in a previous lifetime, not having anyone around who really cared or got us. And, you know, being able to give, you know, voice to these people, or to make people feel like they belong, you know, give community. You know, one thing I'll say, you know, because old souls are really looking to connect with similar old souls. And if you can find a community where you can use terms like spirit guides without people thinking you're crazy, you know, I think that's what you want. You know, so often, I mean, like with the holidays being upon us, you know, you hear people complaining about Thanksgiving and arguments with the family and, you know, the different political views and so on. And again, with, you know, Christmas or whatever. But it can be really nice to not have any of that, to feel in a very safe place where you can be yourself. You know, a lot of times what old souls do is they you know, instead of sticking to their guns and holding true to their beliefs, they for the sake of peace and quiet often, they'll just suck it up, you know, and just, you know, put up with the nonsense from the younger souls in the room. And I think sometimes it's really great to just have that feeling of like being able to relax
and talk about it freely. That is so liberating. Yes. When I get it, I am so thankful to have people in my life that I get to just openly talk about this stuff with. But also, I'm not sure if they're young or old souls, but just maybe because of what I do for a living or whatever, because I'm very open about my feelings on spirit guides and stuff, I'll mention it in front of people that, you know, do not resonate with that. And I know that they don't, but they're so like, okay, this is Raquel and this is her beliefs, and they don't judge it. Probably because I've just owned the fact that this is part of my belief system and just who I feel I am.
Well, good for you. I mean, that's great. It's what we should all be doing, because otherwise, how are others going to learn?
Yeah. Well, and also, how are others going to learn, or wherever they're at, their human experience doesn't feel like experiencing that right now for whatever reason, they still at the same time just honor it and embrace it. And if they don't, to be honest, it's not that I kick them out of my life, but somehow they weed themselves out of my life. I've noticed that people that just embrace wherever I'm at on my spiritual journey, and vice versa, because I have friends that they could be young souls as well. I indeed honor whatever people are going through on their spiritual path.
Sure. Yeah. And I think that's such an important thing, because it is easy for older souls to look down their noses at younger souls.
Yeah.
But there was something actually put in my new book about how, you know, you wouldn't berate a 7-year-old because they didn't know how to drive a car, you know? And it's just a lack of experience. But at the same time, you know, sometimes, you know, you want, it's like wanting to be around friends. You know, you want to be around those who get you. And it may not happen so easily with younger souls. But it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with those souls. Oh, it's just like, you know, they don't have the experience. It's a lot harder for younger souls to get older souls than the other way around, because they just literally haven't the experience yet. Whereas the older soul knows what it's like to maybe not have,
wow, interesting,
you know, the full picture. So, yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah, I do feel like we need to nourish ourselves with those that are also older as well, or just understand that stuff, because it does help for sure. I couldn't picture not having that. And so a lot of people do ask me, though, they're like, they feel as though they're surrounded by people, like they're in a young soul family, or they're in a young soul community. And so they're thankful for your own magic community for being able to surround themselves with old souls and like-minded souls. And also, I'm sure you as well, with your old soul world that you've created. And so
it's a safe haven, you know, it's a sanctuary often, you know, for older souls. Again, it's about, you know, it's so much about comfort and being able to be open. You know, you really, you know, we're doing it all the time, whether we're aware of it or not, but seeking out those that we can really deeply connect with. If you think of it, like one of the major things that any old soul is trying to achieve is intimacy with others, you know, get to that very, very deep place.
Ooh.
And it's a lot easier with somebody with whom you have a soul connection, even a soul agreement. Than it would be just for a random person. I mean, it's a generalization. And of course, you can meet people just kind of by chance who are also old souls who may really, you know, be able to go to that place with you. But that search for intimacy is a lot easier when you're amongst kindred spirits, you know, really those of a similar soul age.
That's so true. But when you do happen to have something from your past life, which you and I both have, which is abandonment, and abandonment issues, it's a little hard to, for my personal experience right now where I'm at, where I even just let someone in and then the abandonment happened, because that's part of my challenge and human experience or whatever. But yeah, it's so hard to allow yourself to get deeply intimate with another human romantically. It's easy for me to open up and get intimate one-on-one with friends that I feel like I can trust, but it is also selective for that. But as far as like intimacy on a lover scale, that is a challenge for sure.
It's a challenge for so many old souls, being able to safely open up the heart chakra to another soul. And it takes a lot of trust, and certainly getting over a lot of past life issues. I mean, that's a big part of what I do in my work, is help people to overcome the blocks, you know, which in a case of something like rejection, abandonment, is the kind of thing that can really, it can make your soul a little bit skittish. You know, the soul will remember the hurts from previous lifetimes, and certainly go to that place where, you know, it worries it's going to go through the same terrible emotions, same situations even, that it went through before. It's irrational in a way, because one of the problems that the soul has, well, if you think of it, you know, you could be on life 120, but your soul's on life number one. The body and the mind die between lives, but the soul continues. So it's one of its biggest blind spots is not being able to discern what's in a past life and what's present. And so when you hit reminders, triggers, the cult of where somebody, for example, well, I'll give you an example. Actually, just came up last night, and my wife, you know, we've done quite a bit of work on our past lives. You know, we always say she's like the cobbler's daughter walking around barefoot, you know, because everybody else gets his sessions, but occasionally we get to do ones for her. And I know that she's got some quite big past life issues around loss, losing children in past lives, losing spouses through war, that kind of thing. And we've done a lot of work, you know, it's just certainly things are an awful lot better because a lot of the healing is just from re-experiencing, finding out what happened in the past life, and then reminding the soul that that's a different life, you know, let it go. And the soul can just drop fears and blocks and all sorts of things very, very quickly. But last night I went out with some friends and we just got to talking, and I do this regularly. I've been meeting the same people for about 16 years. You know, so just a bunch of buddies. And, but, you know, and usually it's a, you know, we're usually all back home by about 9 o'clock, you know, and last night I didn't realize we just got chatting, and they sort of shut up the restaurant around us, and it was the pouring rain and, you know, dark, stormy night. And when I got home just after 11, my wife's standing at the door and in tears and worried that something had happened. Aww. And that's entirely a past life issue. She's going to the darkest place because of what happened in the past life. And it's also a sign we need to do a little bit more work around healing that loss. But she was so worried that something would happen. And it's not because anything's happened to me before in this life. It's because of some things that have happened in a past life where she's been, you know, in a marriage where the partner just never came home or something terrible happened to them. And so the soul takes you often to a very, very dark place very quickly. You know, you've got a fear of loss, by the way, if you do have that sort of concern about, maybe if somebody's 10 minutes late, you start to really worry something's happened to them. 15 minutes late, you know, you're thinking about calling the hospitals.
Oh my gosh, my mom. She'll text me, "I'm about to call the cops if you don't answer." And I'm across the world and I'm like, I'm asleep, you know?
Oh my God. That is a huge fear of loss. Absolutely. Yeah. A lot of times people don't know they have a fear of loss until they actually have something to lose, like a child. Mm. It's very typical. And then they become very, well, kind of helicopter parents, I think this might be the term, or just worried. It's usually things like being late or not hearing from somebody. And then because of the past life experience, the soul, like I said, takes you to the very darkest place. Wow. Something awful must have happened. If you don't have that fear of loss, you might just think, oh, they're probably just still in the restaurant with their friends, you know, having a great time.
Oh, and those people are so lucky that have that. I feel like I have a hint of the loss thing because my mind has mm-hmm. indeed gone there. But I don't react super hastily or fast. I give it time and I calm my mind. I calm myself like, oh, just give it a little bit before you act. I remember when I had a fiance, it was like when I just deeply loved somebody. It will happen with my parents or when I had a fiance, and I didn't think of anything like he's doing anything bad. I would just think of the worst thing, which is loss. But that's at the same time, in this life, I've lost quite a few friends. Quite a few friends have passed away in my life from an accident.
Well, that's actually, again, that's to do with the fear of loss, because each of those experiences mm-hmm. in this life is a trigger. And what I always say about the fear of loss is that you can't you can't fool the soul, particularly on this one. It's why it's why affirmations sometimes don't work, because the soul is, you know, soul's not stupid. It has some blind spots, but it's not dumb. And so if you say like, everything's going to be fine, it's all going to work out great, the soul goes, well, you don't know that. You know, look at what happened 2 lifetimes ago and 10 lifetimes before that. Look what happened earlier in this life. And look at these people that we've lost in this life. And what these experiences in the past life have taught the soul is that bad things can and do happen. Loss happens. You can't trust everything to just work out. So the way that you have to deal with it is not to sort of try and con the soul with some affirmation that it's not ever going to believe, but to actually go to the source, go back to the past life, not the stuff in this life, but go back to the past life and clear out whatever happened there. And it is simply just reminding the soul, that was then, this is now. Sometimes all you need is a couple of lines. I can get healing with a client just saying something like, you had a past life in Germany in the 17th century. you lost both your kids to scarlet fever, and now that's why you worry about losing your daughter. It can be as simple as that. And the next time I talk to the person, the fear is completely gone.
Wow. See, that's phenomenal. Yet at the same time, not you only have so many hours in the day, so not everyone has access to you all right. the time. So let's just say they are home alone. In fact, one girl, because you actually got a lot of questions, and one of them was from Helene Joanne, and she asked, what kind of healing techniques can one do to heal past life trauma other than just remembering? So let's say that they're home alone and they might not have the tools to just sit there and try to remember what happened in Germany 10 yeah. lifetimes ago, you know? Like, what are something that they can do at home or on their own?
Well, yeah, this is a great question. Because I love this, you know, obviously I feel, you know, I do it every day. I'm working with people in past life. So I think the fast track is always to find out whatever happened in the past life. You know, if in groups, I do it in regressions, with regression, and with individuals, I just tell them what happened. It's just the quickest way to do it. And, but there are other things. Now, I kind of touched on it with how you and I are both trying to bring people together, because what we're doing is a spiritual act. We're trying to heal ourselves and help those who suffer in some way, like we did in a past life. So maybe where we felt we didn't have community or support, that now we're trying to offer that to other people. It's a spiritual act, and a spiritual act is always something where you heal yourself by helping those who suffer as you once did. And sometimes it can be very literal, and sometimes it can be, you know, conceptually similar. So if somebody's working through, you know, issues of loss, then the thing would be to think about, well, how can I help maybe people who may have lost others? How can I help them to feel, you know, how can we mitigate the effects of the loss? So it could be like doing some community work, or something where you help those who've been bereaved. I mean, there's all sorts of ways that we can help each other. Spiritual acts are fascinating things, because I've seen so many different variations over the years. For example, one thing that comes up a lot is where very few old souls choose a life of illiteracy, but it does happen, because you might come into a life with plans and you're going to do all sorts of things, but for some reason, maybe you suffer from dyslexia, or maybe you never get the education you thought you were going to get, and you don't learn to read. And I've seen so many people who've had literacy in past lives where they've really felt it took them off their life plan. They didn't have the same sort of autonomy, couldn't read contracts, couldn't read a newspaper, limited their understanding of life and so on. And these people are really interested in literacy, and I've seen people set up libraries in Africa and all sorts of things. In fact, I had a whole project going for a few years to all connected with that, which was helping to send books to Malawi. And, you know, it's healing for, I mean, I have the illiteracy in my past lives as well. So it was great for me. It felt like I was doing something that was really meaningful, and people were really benefiting from that. Everybody benefits when you're carrying out a spiritual act.
That's so interesting. Yeah, that's true. So to perform, or perform is a weird word to use, but just to do some sort of spiritual act. But let's say that they're home alone, and it just, the trauma, the remembrance, the feeling, the fear in the soul arises somehow. When it does arise, they just like write it down and remember, and then do something that they feel called to do, that's a spiritual act of selflessness in some way. Is that what you're pretty much saying?
Yes. Yes, it could be like some sort of act of service. Yeah. And there's something else. I have some clients in Texas. They're older ladies who one told me about how they, if one's experienced any kind of fear, they have a group call, and the others remind them that it's just a past life issue and let it go. And sometimes you can just do that for yourself. You know, if you catch yourself worrying about something and just go, oh, you know, that's just a past life issue, you know, let it go. You know, just this thing of saying to the soul, that was then, this is now.
But
stop worrying about it.
But at the same time, let's just say it really is deep-seated, deep-rooted. You might tell yourself this is just a past life issue, but mm-hmm. how do you fully know without, you know, someone like you or someone else that can connect with spirit guides or do past life regressions? How can one who might not go seek that know that this is from a past life?
Well, usually if you're feeling something that's, maybe it's a little extreme, the reaction, or maybe it seems to be, yes, yeah, out of proportion really to whatever's going on.
Okay. And also like a pattern, maybe.
A pattern, absolutely. When you see patterns in your life, they're, I think they're probably all past life related. I can't think of any that wouldn't be. So noticing that, mm-hmm. and then, you know, what you can do, it is actually, it's much easier to do your own past life regression than most people would think it is. You know, it's a, just a question of going into a just a little meditation would be enough, and just saying, talk to your spirit guides to say, you know, please give me a sense of what this past life was that happened. And often you might just get a feeling. The other thing you can do is just sit there and think to yourself, well, what must have happened? What kind of thing happened to cause this unwarranted reaction in this life? And very often that's an opportunity for the spirit world to just pop some ideas into your head to sort of kind of say, this is the sort of thing that happened.
That's interesting. So just to really be present and listen, and just whatever, trust whatever messaging comes through. Because a lot of times we'll doubt those thoughts and we'll think it's our mind or our ego telling us, but if we could just trust.
Well, that's another thing. All the time, all over the place, people are suffering from past life issues, and nobody around them recognizes that that's what it is. So, you know, we have these extreme fears, these extreme reactions, these patterns we're talking about. And, you know, very, very rarely does anybody ever say, well, oh, it's a past life thing, you know, don't worry about it. You know, I've said it before, and I used to say sort of half jokingly, now I say it seriously, that I think 100 years from now, we'll go to a doctor's office and there'll be somebody there like me helping you to work through your past life issues. Because I think it will become much more understood that so many mental issues, fears, phobias, all phobias are past life fears.
Yeah.
And, you know, that are past life related. So many physical ailments.
I am an everyday a touch of mascara kind of gal, though I love a full glam moment. So whether I'm simply just adding my liquid lash extensions mascara by Thrive Cosmetics, or adding their highlighter, eyeliner, or eyeshadow to my full glam, Thrive has been my go-to since 2020 for most of my makeup products. So that's why I'm so excited that they're sponsoring this episode. And why do I love them? Well, not only is their quality and their application just chef's kiss, but also the causes they support. In fact, it's in the name, Thrive Cosmetics, C-A-U-S-E, Medics. Thrive Cosmetics and Bigger Than Beauty Skincare exist to empower their customers, employees, and giving partners to live their most confident lives. And so they believe in responsive giving. And so thanks to your support, they either donate their high performance products or much needed funds to help communities thrive. Can't emphasize enough how great their mascara is. Their unique formula creates tubes around each eyelash to lengthen them. Plus, it's incredibly easy to remove. Just a gentle wash with warm water, and it doesn't leave any smudges. The nourishing ingredients also support longer, stronger, and healthier looking lashes over time. And let me tell you, as someone with blonde eyebrows, I really do appreciate the natural look of their Infinity Waterproof Eyebrow Liner. This easy-to-use waterproof pencil holds like a wax and blends like a powder. So just a few strokes to the line of your brows and fill in any sparse areas, and it comes with a little spoolie brush to lift and tame your brows afterwards. So with 8 shades to choose from, you'll always find the perfect match for your natural brow hair color. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/magic. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/magic for 10% off your first order. Wait. with Mother's Day just around the corner, are you thinking about something truly special for your mama? I am. And let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? So here is how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email, and these can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or record her voice. And then mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And then guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. You get to preserve her voice and her stories for your family. I mean, imagine you're discovering stories about her youth, her adventures, the challenges that she had to overcome in life, the way that you two connect and relate, and also the way her grandkids will relate to her. I mean, this book becomes a legacy and something that you and your future generations can truly treasure forever. I mean, your mom's given you a lifetime of stories, so this is your chance to give her a way to share them. And not only am I creating one for my mom now for Mother's Day, but for my dad's birthday, as my dad is turning 80 this year, and I like to gift him with sentimental gifts. You know, he's gifted my family and I so many treasured moments. So I wanted to create something for us to collect these memories and for my future kids, for them to know my father's voice. So beautiful, sentimental, easy to use. Let me emphasize, easy to use. And you can truly create one for anyone. Your mom, your dad, your bestie, maybe even you. So check out mylifeinabook.com and use code MAGIC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com and use code MAGIC for 10% off today.
What happened was I was talking to this woman a few years ago and just in a session, and I told her that what I was picking up was that she'd had this experience as a child. She'd been raised as a child at the end of the 1800s in the south of France. Quite a well-to-do family. Her mother, who was a social climber, took her to the opera. And this little girl, I don't know, 7 or 8, she wanted to go to the bathroom. The mother wouldn't let her because she was trying to introduce her to people. And, you know, it's all about appearances. And halfway through the opera, the little girl peed on the velvet chair. And the mother was furious, took her home, beat her. It was like, you know, really awful. And as a result, this child became a bedwetter and was trying all sorts of things, like not drinking, everything to try and stop what was happening. And because I'm so used to seeing how past life experiences connect, the very first question I asked her was, I said, difficulty urinating. And you know, I was expecting something like, oh, well, you know, sometimes I might do. She said that just some time before, she had been on a 14-hour flight and couldn't pee at all. She kept trying. It was getting, you know, very incredibly stressful. And when they got to New Delhi, and she actually had to be carted off the plane, they had to take her off and catheterize her. And you know, and I said to her at the time, and nobody from the, you know, the flight crew, the emergency team, or the passengers would have ever thought that this was a past life issue. And these things are going on all the time, different things that are, I have no source in this life. And if you can go back to the past, you know, you can, it's amazing what you can do. So I actually didn't talk to her for several years after this. And then she called up for another session and asked how, you know, how's it going with that urination? She said, well, you know, it's just, I think it was just a couple of weeks or something, and it healed up, you know, a lifetime issue. And she was going into details about all the things she tried to do, like the little girl she'd been back in the past life, trying not to drink. And then, I mean, terrible stuff, like, you know, she'd been to a doctor who had tried to increase the size of her urethra. I mean, it was just like this is one thing that comes up an awful lot in my work. And in my book, the new book, I've actually put a couple of stories in there like this, showing all the different things that people had done. One is a mother with a child who spent 20 years trying to deal with this special needs child with extreme issues going on, healed up within 2 weeks of finding out what the past life issue was. And that was, you know, and that was through her. She was then able to just tell her child what had happened in the past life. And the main thing is that, you know, you don't have to be conscious or aware as long as the soul is. So you're really talking to the soul and reminding, again, you know, keep saying, reminding the soul that was then, this is now. And just simply by saying, you know, here's what happened to you 100 years ago or whatever.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Wow. That's so powerful. And I'm glad that those people got to experience hearing this so they were able to heal it. Yeah. Let's say you are on your own. So this is actually a question from Strawberry Vitality. And she asks, how do we connect to our past lives and know what's real versus imagination? So when we're on our own and we don't have that confirmation from spirit guide, I mean, our spirit guides are delivering it to us, but a lot of humans tend to doubt that that was delivered from their spirit guide. Until you get to a point, I think you do it enough where you just trust and you have faith and you just know. But I remember questioning, like, was that, you know, my mind telling me? Sure. So I think of this as a profound question. What, because a lot of people are there, what's real versus imagination?
Well, I come across this, it's always the question that comes up a lot. In my membership program, we actually, we do a regression every month, and I joke every time that when people call in to discuss, what they'll do is afterwards we'll do the regression, and then people call in and I'll help them to understand how to connect up the past and present. So, because there's all, you know, to me, very obvious ways that the past relates to the present. But I always say points will be deducted. There are no points, of course, but points will be deducted if you call up and begin the conversation with, it's probably just my imagination, but you know, it's so, I mean, I've been through it myself, you know, way back, you know, when I first started doing this stuff and wondering, is it, you know, for example, you know, I'd go, typical thing is to say, well, it's just my imagination. The other thing is that you might say, well, you know, I felt myself going down with a ship, but I watched Titanic again the other night, and so it's probably that. But in fact, what I discovered was that these, like a reference, like a movie, can be something that you get to help you to really understand what happened. It's a way the spirit guides give you a sort of quick and easy way to understand. So, of course, what we think is, oh, it's just my imagination, and it's just based on something I watched on TV. But it's actually usually deeper than that. My feeling is that if you're in that space and allowing your spirit guides to work with you, you will get what you need, and to not, you know, worry about it. But I know it's a tough thing, and sometimes switching off that left side of the brain is really, really hard. You know, that's the bit that gets all the training and attention. So that's why when I do a regression, for example, and with a membership program or in a live event, we always do a short meditation first, because it alters the brain waves. I don't know what the science is, but all I know is that it works. So, you know, that would be also my advice, is just at least do some meditation.
Yes.
See what you get. And the other thing is, does it make sense? You know, if you get the sense that you went down with a ship and you have a fear of deep, dark water, that would tell you something, you know, it would kind of make sense of something that you kind of know.
I know, it puts the puzzle pieces together. And there is something, for me personally, it's really only in those meditative states when I'm in like a trance state and I'm almost having, you don't think of it this way, but it does feel like an out-of-body experience in a sense, because you are so deeply there with your soul versus your mind taken over in beta mode or whatever. Right. And so I think that it's very profound to like go, allow yourself the time, give yourself the space and the time to actually get in a deeper trance state. And
yeah, I would like to say that I think a lot of people are a little afraid sometimes of that, you know, that, you know, can I really do it? You know, most of us will have
the ability. That's the mind.
Yeah, exactly. Most of us have the ability, you know, just give it a try.
All of us.
Yeah. I mean, even when I first spoke to the spirit world, I mean, you know, I kept hearing for years, you know, psychics telling me that I was psychic and should be doing it, and so resistant. And then finally, when I tried it, I did maybe 20 minutes meditation, and then, you know, kind of sheepishly went, "All right, spirit guides, are you there?" And sure enough, you know, they kind of were. You know, I've even found that, well, my spirit guides will say it all the time: 10 minutes meditation is better than nothing at all. You don't have to meditate for months. You don't have to climb a hill and study your navel. You know, it's like you just you know, relax in a chair with your eyes closed for maybe 10 minutes, and then talk to your spirit guides. I say to them, it's just, I'd like to find out what's the source of this particular fear or block, and see what comes up. And people are often blown away when they discover they can do this for themselves, and that what they get is so apropos. It's like that feeling of like, oh my God, that makes total sense.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And because you just feel it in your, you know, every fiber of your being and your soul, you just feel like, oh, this is true, versus your mind being like, well, maybe it's not. And that's the thing. I think a lot of people have a hard time getting into the meditate, because I've been there, recognize that I'm resistant to meditating because my mind's afraid that it's not going to be in control and take over my beingness anymore.
That's actually past life issues, past life fear of loss of control.
Yeah, for sure. So just to consciously be aware, like, oh, this is just my mind being in fear of something.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is, because I do sometimes distinguish all fear-based things with the mind, but it turns out that our soul does feel fear too.
It's a weird one, but I've been working with spirit guides and doing this work for now about 20 years. And the way it's always been expressed to me is not so much that the soul has the fear, but the soul carries the memory, and therefore is essentially carrying the fear. At its heart, the soul is fearless. And that's the wonderful thing about overcoming past life fears, is that when you start to really work through these and you know, bite away at them and get rid of them, you end up acting, you know, purely from your soul in a place that feels fearless. Mm-hmm. It's incredibly empowering.
Yeah, that's true, because I do feel as though, or picture as though, all our souls to its core is just pure love and no fear. But it does hold those memories, and those memories also, honestly, come from a mind, a consciousness, an experience.
That's right. Well, that's absolutely. Then the conscious mind takes these things and runs with them.
Yeah. I mean, and the energy is still there, and it's still vibrationally there in you. And you do hold the power, though, which is beautiful, to consciously and also maybe even subconsciously remove it, release it, let it go.
Absolutely. Well, it's amazing how quickly you can get rid of a past life issue, you know, sort of. You know, a lot of the physical things that we carry, I found people blowing through pains, migraines, you know, getting rid of them permanently within just, you know, maybe a few days, a couple of weeks, you know, and it's thrilling to see that happening. This is assuming that there's no physiological reason, you know, but we have these Achilles body parts, these areas of weakness that are related to past life experiences, and so they're often nothing more than ghost memories. Migraines are a good example of that. They can be, you know, really nothing more than just a memory. And so, you know, simply you remind the soul again that was then, this is now. Just raise the past life, you know, and be head trauma at the end of a past life, and it can just disappear very, very quickly.
Now, I'm going to preface this question by saying that I 100% agree with you on this. I'm going to play devil's advocate for somebody. I can just picture in my mind like a skeptic's comment on this.
Okay,
so let's just say someone's like, well, that would be you also not facing, not holding yourself accountable in this lifetime and just suppressing it and not seeing what you've done in this lifetime. So you're just making an excuse for a past life, basically. Does that make sense?
So if you're saying it's a past life thing, it's a way of making an excuse.
Yeah, basically, because I've heard people say that. So what do you say to that? In fact, one girl did, let's see, Namaste Carly asks, how to address people who assume past lives are bullshit. also love him. Oh my God.
So, well, what, you know, people say to me, how do you answer critics or those who say that, you know, past lives are BS? Well, I just don't engage. I mean, I really do feel that it's not my purpose. I'm not here to, you know, to kind of convince anybody of anything. And that's what I've done very much in the book is present really what is my understanding. But, you know, so I wanted just to address one thing there is that that some people do use excuses, you know, like, well, you know, how can you blame me for, you know, stealing that last piece of pie because, you know, I have a past life of starvation or something. yeah, that's pretty lame, you know. It just, yeah, we have the power to act appropriately. We're not victims of our soul's past or these fears. You know, we do have the power to, yep, to act in a way that's different. It's just, you know, often we just slip into patterns of behavior because of our past life issues.
Yeah, like we don't need to make excuses.
Go into you can go into victimization or something like that because you had a little power in past life. And that can be a real tendency. You know, people will, when they're trying to overcome something where they were completely powerless in a past life, they can actually they slip into two things. Sometimes they can be a little too controlling, and other times they can just become sort of victims of circumstances and feel that they can't really change things. But we all have the power. I mean, all the time. You're never a victim of circumstances. I mean, you always have, even the spirit guides have addressed this quite a lot. They say that no matter what the circumstances, we have the power to change something. We all always have more power than we think we have, is what they say.
Mm-hmm. And how empowering is actually, instead of thinking of it as like, oh, this is an excuse, it's actually very, when we have those patterns or those clear fears that just keep coming up, or even something that might surprise you, a deep, deep, deep fear that might surprise you. But how empowering is it to know that we have the power to actually like look back and see where it stems from, where it roots from, and know that all we have to do, we don't have to do anything super crazy, just remember it, simply tell our soul, it's okay. We're okay.
Absolutely.
How beautiful is that? That it's so simple when you put it in that way. It's not intimidating.
And we have the choice over our actions, yeah, as well. You know, we can go into that sort of, you know, victim place and say, well, you know, I can't change anything because, you know, because of my past life as a, you know, a disempowered person. And, you know, but God, so we have the power to completely and radically change our lives. Mm-hmm. It's actually super exciting when you sort of realize just how much you can change things. You know, I see it with clients sometimes when they've been very stuck, and I've been there. I'm very sympathetic. I totally get it. But we can be stuck in relationships or places that are not good for us for a very long time. And then sometimes something can just click, you know, it could be just hearing about a past life or being reminded of the power that you have, where the person goes, oh my God, yeah, I really can change everything. And, you know, they can change their location, you know, ditch the relationship that's not working, find another job, take a great leap of faith, you know. And, you know, the one thing that you want, ideally, I think all of us want, is at the end of this life to feel like it's been a life well lived and that we kind of went for it. None of us really want to, our souls don't want to be at the end of this life going, gosh, I wish I hadn't stuck it out in that crummy job or funny situation for all those years. You know, what a waste. And soul is really concerned about not having a wasted life.
Yes.
It's always, you know, if you think of being 100 years old, looking back in your life, it's the things you didn't do, the opportunities you didn't take that you'll regret.
That is actually one of the reasons. And I don't know if it's my soul or human self rebelling, but I felt like I was getting kind of boxed in the stigmas of the spiritual community for, you know, I was personally doing this to myself. I didn't recognize it till I stepped out of it. And I realized that I really was boxed in the stigmas of things where I wasn't allowing myself the joy that my soul really wants when it comes to just experiencing certain humanisms, because my soul is here to have a human experience and probably for whatever reason wants to experience like certain things if it's on its last life or two or three, you know?
Sure, yes.
And so I'm allowing myself to be so human more than ever since this spiritual journey, which has been so liberating.
That's sort of dogma. It's a dogma.
Crazy, yeah.
You know, we're here to experience life on the physical plane, you know, experience what it is to be human. You know,
yes.
I mean, of course, you know, you want to avoid things like, you know, becoming alcoholic like you did in the previous lifetime or something. You know, you want to exercise some control. It's like you want to exercise your freedom, but also with a little bit of, or maybe a lot of responsibility there. But yeah, we're here to enjoy things. I had a conversation with the guides once when they talked about, you know, drinking alcohol. They said, why do you think they call it spirits? It's like, they seem to feel like, you know, it's there, you know, enjoy it, but, you know, show, exercise moderation.
Yes, you got to be wise about it.
Yeah, like, you know, should I eat meat or not? And then from a spiritual point of view, that comes down, and I know people don't always like hearing this, but it does come down to a matter of choice. I was vegetarian for years. I had my reasons for doing it. And other reasons for going back to eating meat. But, you know, so I had a lot of conversations with the spirit world, and, you know, they would be the first. If there's cruelty involved, they're sort of really, you know, cruelty to animals, so against it. But they do recognize also that there's a question of choice there. And there's no huge negative karma or anything from being a carnivore in this life, for example. Mm-hmm. We are human, you know?
Yeah, we are human. And we did, you and I did that because I was curious about that. So I did ask about that the last conversation. I'm vegetarian, but I honor whatever people's human experience and choices. And that's just where I'm at. I'm not judgy if someone is not vegan or vegetarian or whatever by any means, because yeah, I actually, it was interesting. I was with one of my friends who is, you know, she's been vegan for a long, almost two decades now. And she was like, I don't understand how anyone can call themselves spiritual and not be vegan or care what they put in their body. And I was thinking like that we're all human having this experience and all on different paths and journeys, and our souls want to experience different things for whatever reason.
That's absolutely true. And one thing I'd like to stress is that when it comes to being spiritual, what it really means to be spiritual, I've had many conversations with the spirit world about this, and generally they feel one interesting observation was on this subject was just recently when the spirit guides pointed out that meditation and certain activities, yoga, very, you know, spiritual, but they're actually more like a means to an end than the end in itself, and that they to be considered really spiritual from the spirit guide's point of view is all to do with how we interact with others. It's like the kindness we show to others, the difference we try to make in the world. That's, you know, it's that, again, you know, talking about spiritual acts, which we were earlier, you know, we are here, and it's incumbent on all those souls to try to make a difference. To, you know, I mean, we live in a very dysfunctional world right now, and spirit guides talk a lot about this, how it doesn't have to be this way. It's never intended that we have a world that looks the way it does, you know, run by corporations of all things, where, you know, it's so much, there's so much greed and self-interest and so on running the, you know, even shaping the how we perceive the world that we're in. It doesn't have to be that way. Should be much more cooperation, everybody working together.
But they did give us free will, and so
unfortunately
now we're figuring
it out. I mean, and that is the thing, you know, we have free will, but, you know, the free will implies that we can act in very kind ways as well, you know, and certainly just because other people are behaving selfishly doesn't mean we have to join in. You know,
that's when we do listen to our soul, because our soul will want to act from love versus
always
whatever our ego or mind wants.
Absolutely,
yeah. And it usually wants to act in service versus service to self.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So there are actually two questions that I think are, well, there are a lot of questions, but I think we only have time for potentially two more that I want to get to from the listeners.
Okay.
This one's, I think, is super interesting. She wrote, or her name's Erin Eber, and she writes, have you seen people change souls in one lifetime?
Oh.
So basically like a soul walk-in. I think that's super interesting.
The walk-in. I've seen it a few times.
Ooh.
I mean, not a lot. But there are certain common things. And what will happen is that somebody is in a state of crisis. Gosh, I'm trying to retrieve something. I came across one just a few weeks ago, but I cannot remember the details. But what will happen typically is that a person is sick, or they have a major trauma. And one soul goes, you know, I don't think I have everything I need to be able to handle this, and will swap with another soul. And this other soul comes in and says, yeah, I I'm used to dealing with this. I have a very positive attitude towards sickness or whatever. I mean, typically what you can get, you know, one soul might have a fear of failure from disappointing lives and a fear of sickness. And that could make it very hard to recover from an ailment. Mm-hmm. But you could have another soul comes along and says, well, I have no such fears and I just expect to get better, and that will really aid recovery. And so there's a sort of switch over, handover. And usually people will notice some kind of difference. Like, you know, you don't seem quite the same as you were before. I mean, if I can tell you one story, the first time I ever came across this, I was working with an elderly lady. And she just, I said to her, were you really sick like 5 years ago? She said, oh, I nearly died. Yes. And I said, well, it looks like you had a walk-in. And said, did you notice any changes? And she said, oh, you know, huge changes. At that point, I think she was about 70. She had never, driven a car, and she'd never drunk alcohol. But, and it seems utterly absurd, but suddenly she said, I'm driving, I'm drinking and driving, I'm doing 90 miles an hour in a built-up area. And it's hilarious, you know, I was trying to picture, you know, what that looked like. And what seemed sort of strangely, almost paradoxical, was that the soul that came in to help her through the illness successfully was then completely reckless in other ways. And all of that can be explained in spiritual terms. It's like issues around self-destruction and so on. And, you know, and we got over all of that in the session, but it was fascinating to see. The most recent one, I just remember that the person was having like definite changes in personality. You know, people would report that they no longer worry about certain things, or they, you know, they suddenly find they got talents they didn't know they had before. Ah, it's a fascinating one.
I'm not 100% certain, but sometimes, well, I definitely have a friend who I think is, and a lot of people listening are familiar with her. Her name's Claire Plentiful Soul, and we're pretty sure she had a walk-in experience. But then sometimes I look back at mine, I'm like, it could just be a human evolution, but I also don't feel as connected. Like, I almost feel a disconnection with part of my past in this lifetime. Except for I do still have the love for my parents. But yeah, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. And I'm a totally different person
right
as well. So I don't know. It's so interesting.
What can happen too as well is that, you know, usually around the mid-30s, you'll find that people, the soul starts to really push through. So sometimes you'll see some big differences there. You know, somebody mm-hmm. who's never interested in spiritual things suddenly is fascinated by it, but that's to do with the soul saying, okay, we need to understand things more. So between 34 and 40 is often a time when there's some big changes going on. The walk-in thing I don't see very often. I mean, I would think I probably have seen it maybe 6 times in 20 years. It's not very common.
Right, it's a rarity. That makes sense. I don't think I have a walk-in, but I do think my friend did.
Yeah.
Wait, do you have time for two more questions?
I would be very happy to.
Oh, you're so... Thank you, Ainsley.
Well, you can probably tell I love my work. You know, I talk about this endlessly.
And I could talk to you for hours about this. Anyways, this is from L.Gilly, and L Gilly writes, from one perspective, isn't everyone's soul equally multidimensional and old?
Not my understanding is no. You know, what I present is just, you know, what I get from the spirit guides. And so, you know, they see it as it's a sort of linear thing. You know, what I've often said is that if the soul was perfect, you know, every soul was old and every soul was perfectly connected, well, we wouldn't have wars, we wouldn't have the world that we live in. And there'd be no point in coming here, because the whole reason that we come from multiple lifetimes that take us from being a young soul to an old soul is so that we can learn and grow. And every experience adds to to make us who we are. You know, find that older souls tend to be much more progressive politically, more concerned about the environment, more spiritual rather than religious, and all those sort of things. It's just largely to do with increased experience and less fear as you become older.
That's true. That makes a lot of sense. And also, maybe perhaps, because like you said, you did preface it by saying that your guides focus, like have you focus on mm-hmm. the linear. So, and she wrote from one perspective. So perhaps because this universe is so complex, there could, we, you know, are perhaps multidimensional as well. And our soul could be a part of things that, but for, from your focus, from your, what do you call
my,
it?
The guides call it my purview.
Yes. Your purview.
Right. Narrow focus. Yeah.
Your focus is our souls, like this linear progression of this one soul that this vessel is holding, or that's embodying this vessel. So that would make sense. From that perspective, but there could be other pathways as well. And so, because there are people that their purview is to focus on the multidimensionality of it all too, which is interesting.
Yeah. And that's something I can't comment on. It's just not my, you know, I do have my narrow purview.
You're not your lane.
That's exactly.
You got your lane, but we need that. We need to know it all. I think there's value in understanding it all as people all have their different.
You know, absolutely. I think there's, you know, as they say, there's all these rivers that lead to the ocean, and they all take you to the ocean. They just do it in different ways.
Yes, exactly. Oh my gosh, there were all these questions on purpose, but we've talked about purpose on the other episodes. Are we a collection of old souls or just one? And that was by Caro_XOXO. And I think that was interesting, because we, from your perspective, we are just one old soul. Yeah,
that's my understanding. Yeah, just have you have your one soul. The only thing, and it's a little bit mind-boggling sometimes, but your soul can be in more than one place at one time.
That's what I think she meant by multidimensionality. Our soul being
That could be. I see. Maybe that's if that's what it means. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple of reasons for it. One is that we've got a rapidly expanding population. You know, it's that hockey stick graph. And so with the need, everybody's got to have a soul. Literally everybody has to have a soul. You can't function without one. But the problem would be with an increasing population, if it was just all very young souls coming in, all brand new souls, it would really sort of screw with the balance of things. We'd have very few old souls. And so to keep that balance, old souls split off. You could be four, five, six different places. It's fascinating. I've only looked into with clients into this a couple of times, but fascinating to see where they are. They're different parts of the world, all learning the same lessons, but in different ways, because they all have the same past life stuff. They all have the same things they're wanting to work through. So, but they're doing it in such different ways. And then eventually, those different different aspects of your soul come back into one, but carrying all the experience. So there's a rapid growth as well. That's the other major benefit.
What if that soul was to meet the other embodiment of their same soul?
Have you got an hour?
I guess we can save that for later.
That's another one. It does happen. And people think, you know, it's a sort of twin soul thing. How wonderful, romantic. And everything. It's not. I wouldn't wish it on anyone. It's like, it doesn't seem to work out very well.
Really?
But usually it's as the spirit guides would call it, a rescue mission. It's usually if one or both souls are stuck, that by agreement this other part of your soul will come along and show you a better way of being, or potential or something. Sometimes it's the rebound relationship, getting out of a bad situation. And as my spirit guide say, it doesn't preclude having a long-term relationship, but in my experience, it doesn't generally lead to a particularly successful one. Usually it's just the agreement is let's unstick each other from whatever we're in, help each other along the way, and then part company again.
Wow, interesting.
But it's a huge one. You know, it's a really big one. And again, I'm just seeing sort of, this is just based on, you know, experiences that I've had, but maybe so many other aspects to it.
Do people know right away? Do they just feel that this is a twin experience or?
No, they usually feel, I would say not they're not voicing it like that, but usually a feeling of like, I know there's something going on here. It seems like a weird connection, or it can be really compelling. Mm. And like this feeling of, oh my God, I really want to be with this person. That's a lot to do with there's a sense of familiarity. I mean, you're essentially meeting yourself. It's all very weird.
So interesting. Ugh, we'll have to talk about that on the next time, because you need to come back on in 2020. Yeah,
absolutely. I'm looking forward to that.
I can't wait for the listeners as well to experience the Soul World community. Did I pronounce that right, by the way?
You did. Absolutely. Perfect.
Amazing. And they heard about it in the intro, and they'll see it in the show notes, the code for their free week to hang out with you and the Soul World community, understand more about their soul, because you really go, I mean, that community really dives deep into people understanding their old soul, and it's a community of old souls.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's a community. It's a place where we have like a forum. You can come and talk to other souls. We have a class every month. We have a regression. We have Q&A's. There's a lot going on. It's very, very active. And I hope that if you're listening to this, you would take us up on the offer of a free week and just to, you know, check it out and see how it feels.
Thank you for offering that for the listeners. I think that's so beautiful.
Yeah. And also, I'll mention this now, shameless plug, but I'll be doing an event in Los Angeles, January 25th, and we're doing it twice, 25th and 26th.
If I'm not in Hawaii, I will be in LA, and I'm going to go then, 1,000%.
That's fabulous. Excellent. And all the details are on my website, ainsleymcleod.com.
That would be amazing to be in your presence in person, because I feel like I know you so well.
Absolutely. A reunion of old friends.
I know, exactly. A last question that I've asked you before. How would you advise your own magic listeners to create their own magic?
Oh my gosh. Well, I think, you know, I knew you were going to ask me something like that. So I was thinking, there's so many things that I would, I'd love to throw in there, but one of them is something you touched on before, that I think is it can be so illuminating when it comes to really self-awareness, self-understanding, and even making changes in this life, is to look at the patterns that you have. You know, anything where you say, like, you know, I always seem to run into this, or this always seems to happen to me, and where, you know, could be patterns, good or bad or mediocre, but just see what those sort of things are. You know, they tell you so much about your past lives, but they also tell you loads about what it is you're working on. So look at the patterns in your life and see what they mean. You know, where do you think they come from? You know, why does it always seem to happen, and how do you change it? And these can be things like, you know, work with so many people who will say, I always seem to run into narcissists, or I always seem to have partners who are alcoholic, or I always seem to get bosses who are angry, or I always seem to run into jealousy. And those sort of things are you're drawing in experiences. You don't have to keep doing it if you become aware that these are patterns. And one of the things that I'll leave you with, I think I said this before on the show, is that, as one of my favorite quotes from the spirit guides, is that the experience is not the lesson. The lesson is what you draw from the experience, and the lesson is always positive, or there's always a positive lesson if you look for it.
Oh, and you can find that positive light in everything, all a matter of perspective. Really? And it is true for you. Ugh, that self-awareness thing is so shifting when you recognize like, oh, this is a pattern I keep drawing in, and that just changes the trajectory of everything in your life, especially when you see a positive light in it.
Totally.
So that was great. Thank you, Ainsley.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Raquel.
I'm so grateful for you and Christine.
Absolutely. And hopefully you'll get to meet both of us in LA if you're not in Hawaii.
I know. That would be amazing. Ainsley, thank you so much again.
Well, thank you so much. It's been really an honor to be on the show. Thank you so much.
It's such an honor to have you on the show for the third time. I feel so honored, and I'm happy to talk to you again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yomis, that is a wrap. I hope this episode was expanding for you in some way, shape, or form. Feel free to visit our site at yourownmagic.com or check out my shop, eyesofaspen.com. Connect with the other Your Own Magic listeners. We would love to see more conversations started on the Your Own Magic Facebook group. So with all that being said, thank you so much again for tuning in, and I hope you have a magical rest of your day.